Hello, hello, Jack Guru. Someone emailed in and asked, let me just read it exactly. Hey, how long did it take you until you realized the self and all suffering ended with the mantra? And this is a question that you can't really answer, because the mantra erases the one that was searching for self-realization. And it removes immediately all the concept of that there was someone who could get self-realization, or that there even was such a thing as self-realization. The mantra erases all these concepts slowly, silently, and permanently, so that you're no longer disturbed by all this thoughts of, I need to realize the self, I need to end suffering, I need to be self-realized, that once this happens to me, then my life is going to be so amazing, or, you know, I'm going to see bright lights. Or like Maharaj says, many people think that they're going to see their masters appearing before them, or God, or something like this. But mantra erases all of these illusory concepts. So this question cannot really be answered in a true way, because by remaining with mantra, all the concepts of self-realization, the concepts of someone that can realize, the concept of the spiritual journey, all these concepts are erased. So then there's and even you can say, okay, from the body-based perspective, what happened? Well, from the body-based perspective, there was the feeling of expansion. And in true reality, that was just the erasing of the limited idea of being something. But to the mind, as the last kind of area, it was a feeling of expansion. And a feeling of presence that just expanded, and then everything was in it. And that was like the mind, I don't want to say even the mind dying, but you could kind of say that that was like the death, so to speak, of the concepts. Because now there's no, like in this moment, you can sit and say, okay, yes, in this body-based illusion, there are many people who are still trying to, quote, realize the self. But this is only because there's still the concept that there's a person that's on this spiritual journey. See, that's why our lineage is so amazing, because it's direct. You remain with the mantra, which erases the illusory concepts, allows this sense of presence to be reflected in an empty mind, and you remain. And whether things are going on outside of you, you say, oh, there is no outside, there is no inside. Master has said this. So it's most important that I just remain with myself. Most important that I remain with my mantra. Most important that I may have this meditation so that I can get this sense of presence, which is then, oh, so that I am that. And even identification with presence is not exactly correct, because you are there to identify this sense of presence, but it is a very good step to identify with the beingness or the presence or the I am rather than the body. Because the more you identify with the presence, the I am, or the beingness, then you're in kind of a concept-free state, because what concept was prior to beingness or after beingness? So you're sitting here, and now you can say, okay, this subtle sense of presence, this is what I am. Okay, then remain there as time, so to speak, sort of collapses within your own self, then even this I am, this sense of existence, this presence, this will disappear as a concept as well. And you just are. You could say you're everything. You say you're nothing. Mm-hmm. Because neither is quite true. Everything that's perceived is not yourself, nor does it have anything to do with you. Again, that's why we go back to this dream. This is really the best way, if you're going to intellectualize what self-realization is, it's knowing that this entire world is a dream. Because you lay down at sleep, obviously its formless world is created. You're a body within the world. You're acting and behaving and talking and moving in this illusory world, which we call dream. Well, the same is true here. Formlessly, this form-based existence has appeared with these five elements and all this sort of stuff, and you've identified yourself as an object within the dream, therefore you see other objects, and you lose the fact that, well, I'm none of this. And so you start thinking about how to realize the self, because you come into contact with some books and you get some book knowledge. But again, we can take this and say, the book knowledge got you to this point. Now you've heard the good news. You are not body. You are not body. You are not going to remain the body. Therefore, the book knowledge came along with the body and can be discarded. The body-based relations came along with the body and can be discarded. If you are not body, what is there to realize and how would that occur? If you are not body, what sort of journey can you go on? How? And this is why Nisargadatta Maharaj used to say, like, show me Bombay. And not Bombay like, you know, oh, here's some dirt from Bombay. No, show me Bombay. Bombay is a concept. As is you, world, spiritual journey, no spiritual journey. All these things, because you're formless. You truly are formless. There is no form at all. And yet now, within the body-based illusion, you can enjoy tea. Drink. Formlessness couldn't enjoy tea without this body-based illusion. In this sense, I exist and I am enjoying tea. And nothing wrong with this.
It's interesting you addressed the very thing that I was gonna possibly bring up, was that my mind's always trying to call it something, presence, whether you know something, some kind of generality or specific, or you, no matter what you call it, enlightenment or becoming more aware, or because I relate that to like a feeling that I had that seemed like it was more aware than a different, than at a different time. And in a way, you could sort of say that that sort of happens, or at least it feels like, because when you're focused, not doing mantra and identifying things and dealing with things, you are contracted, and then you maybe become a little bit more mindful, then you expand, and even like a concept, even like reading a concept in a book might make me feel more expanded. But then again, then I'll attribute the expansion to what I read, or to the experience itself. I'll attribute some kind of, no matter what I attribute to what I'm looking for, and no matter what I call what I'm looking for, it's making something out of nothing or something. So you said something about you can't really say it's this, I forget what. You can't really say it's presence or no presence. So you sort of addressed.
Well, I mean, you can identify yourself with the sense of presence. I am, beingness, whatever you want to call it, the just you are feeling. And that's better than identifying yourself with a body. You know, if at all you want to compare, you compare yourself to sky or space, like Maharaj says. So, okay, this subtle sense of presence, you can say this is myself. And that's okay for a time. Even in the dualistic sense, as I've spoken about before, for my own self, that was a power greater than myself. This concept of God was this presence. So there was a duality there of myself worshiping this presence, which was labeled God. And then mantra came along and slowly erased this concept of God or me.
Mm-hmm. And then, but
because
still,
that's the only, I think that's the only separation. It's like presence, me, worshiping presence as God. Because there's still a concept of me and there's still a concept of God. But again, that's a dualistic way of thinking. And then presence, okay, if I say, okay, this I am not body, I'm this subtle sense of presence. So now this is still a dualistic way of thinking, but it's kind of one step up from myself and God, because now it's just presence. I've lost the label of myself and I've lost the label of God. I am presence. Well, what is presence? Presence is this subtle just I. So now I can remain with this subtle just I, And after a time of remaining with this subtle just I, this subtle sense of presence, the dawning realization will come that even this presence I am not. And whether this presence is here or not here, I am. Mm-hmm. And now there can be no concept from this place because, but again, the baby steps, like Maharaj talks about, you know, you walk with a walker and then you get on your own feet and start walking. The same here. It's like, okay, it's me and God. Presence is God. Then there's no me, no God, just presence. And then presence slowly sort of unravels itself by I am the knower of this presence, therefore I cannot be presence. This is my presence, my sense of existence, on which this entire dualistic experience is sort of the, it's appearing on this. So now you can say my presence, just like my car, my phone. This is a possession, so to speak. This sense of presence is the sense of existence. And that to whom this presence or this sense of existence appeared, you are not the sense of existence because you had to be there for the sense of existence to appear. And now you know the entire world is projected on this spontaneous presence. This sense of existence created the world. Just as when you lay down at sleep, you're in deep sleep, sleeping, you'd have no knowledge of yourself, no knowledge of anything, there's nothing. Then suddenly you have this sense of existence which mixes, and we call it consciousness, but it explodes into a dream world. With you populate an entire world instantaneously. And then you go around and you have conversations and you identify yourself as one of the characters within the dream. And you believe that, oh, when you wake up, that was a good dream or a bad dream. But you know it wasn't reality. It's only because this body-based existence, you're a character within this existence, this sense of existence, which has exploded spontaneously and given you the body-based illusion of existing as something. So now, within the body-based existence, we say, okay, you go to a master, and master says, you are not body, you were not body, you were not going to remain the body. So you're within the body-based illusion, and you now know yourself as not having a body within the body-based illusion. Well, the sense of existence is the dualistic concept that created this spontaneous existence. So you can say, okay, I'm not body, yet I see a world. Well, now, if I am not body, I was not body, and I'm not going to remain body, then who am I? I am that to whom the sense of existence has appeared, which has created this dualistic concept, and I'm none of this. I'm out of it. Although it appears that I'm moving around and I have a job and I have children and I have responsibilities and all this, which I do those, but I know it's just the same as in a dream. When I lay down and I dream, I'm one of those characters in the dream moving about, and I might have a job and I might have responsibilities and all that, but when I wake up, that's finished. Well, this also, this body-based illusion will finish, but it has nothing to do with you. You are that to whom this has appeared. I exist, the first concept. And so now within this dream, within this waking dream, whatever you want to call it, identify as presence, okay. By identifying with presence, I no longer am concerned about the things going on because I know I'm presence. So I'm no longer caught up in the day-to-day activities because I know they're all occurring within my own self. The mind has very little to say about formless you. I mean, because again, this is the other neat trick, like Maharaj talks about. You catch the mind because the mind only knows what came along with the body. It can't produce thoughts about prior to beingness or after beingness. The mind can only produce thoughts about the form-based existence of which it knows. And that's how Maharaj says you have to break out of the bubble of illusion. Because all this form-based existence and everything that the mind has to say about it, that's within the bubble of illusion. Prior to beingness, there was no mind. After leaving the body, there is no mind. Because mind is a flow of thoughts about the illusory body-based existence that appears within your own self. And when you're not identified with the body, then you're not one of the objects. Or you could say you're all of the objects because everything is your own self. However you want to say that. But you must know yourself directly, and for that, meditation mantra is very important. Because you can hear 100 people, 100 masters talk about, oh, this is this and this is this. But until you experience it directly, there's a doubt. There's a doubt about your formless nature. When you experience directly through meditation, just that subtle sense. I without anything. Just I. Okay. Now I remain. And now I identify myself as that just subtle presence. Just I. Because without knowing the sense of presence, then it's a concept again. But when you remain with this I am, this sense of beingness, this just I feeling, I without anything, it's no longer a concept. It's a direct experience. And as you're still believing yourself to be a body in a world, okay, drop back into the sense of presence at any moment. And as we spoke about, the dualistic understanding of this presence is the sense of God. You know, because many people, you see them in the churches and they hold up their hand and they're doing this and all of that. That's presence. They're labeling it as the Holy Spirit or whatever it is, but that's presence. And so you remain. It's no longer a concept. There definitely is a presence. Myself and the presence. And the more I remain in that myself and the presence, and I begin turning everything over, so to speak, to the God that is this presence, and I begin really worshiping this presence, and I can say that this presence is then the master, because I start to understand that the presence has taken the form of the master. Sri Ramakant Maharaj has given the mantra. I can understand this. And then as I understand that, the mantra erases all the concepts of this concept of separation. And now there's no master, no disciple, no he, she, it, nothing. And then where's duality? Where's this sense of anything other or other people? Or even my own self. Who is there to realize, and what is realization?
So the mantra at least draws my attention away from anything other.
Maharaj gives a perfect example of a mother who's baking and she can't cook because the children are making all the noise and racket and all of this. So she gives the children some toys so she can concentrate on cooking. And the mantra is the same. Mind is concentrating on repeating this mantra, and you then, your own selfless self, are no longer in that mind flow. It's erasing all the concepts slowly, silently, and permanently. And that's why, again, our lineage is so beautiful, because it's not giving you concepts to erase concepts. You could say the mantra is a concept, but the mantra is the last concept, because that's erasing all the other concepts. Because your presence is there. It's covered by the ash, as Maharaj says, the ash of illusory thoughts. I am somebody else. I'm on a spiritual journey. Sometimes I feel the presence, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I feel so at peace, sometimes I don't. These are the illusory layers. And you just have to remove those slowly, silently, and permanently.
Because it still hasn't hit me, the fact that I can be, while other things can neither, if I'm asleep and don't know anything at all, I can't get the sense that I'm still here in any sense, that I'm still real in any sense at all. But I guess that'll come. But I still will think that I know what I am when I'm awake, but I don't know what I am when I'm not awake.
So why does it matter? That would be the key. Like, if the entire world's illusion, then why am I hung up on whether I know myself in this way or that way, or when I'm awake or when I'm asleep? The entire world's illusion. See, that's another beautiful thing about this lineage. Don't get bogged down in all. If everything's illusion, then your only job is to discover this reality through direct experience for your own self. That's it.
And the emphasis on the mantra prevents
prevents all this, because otherwise there's like karma and there's kundalini, and you could sit there and say, I'm gonna go to kundalini and I'm gonna rise up and then I'm gonna have my kundalini awakened, but right now I'm on my third chakra and I'm working on my third chakra. Well, you are not body. And these concept of chakra came along with the body. As Maharaj says, and I love how it's always, prior to beingness, did you know anything about chakra? Prior to beingness, did you know anything about kundalini? No, that came along with the body. Well, you're not body. Therefore, you can discard that knowledge. Nisargadatta Maharaj is a little bit more poignant. He says, that's for the ignorant. That's a very strong word, but he says that throughout his entire book. Oh yeah, that's for the ignorant. You're not ignorant. You came to the understanding that I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. And now, what is the use of the body-based knowledge other than it got you here? Because some will say, I've been studying spirituality for, and Maharaj would say, somebody would come to him, they've been in the Himalayas and they've been meditating and they've been on this spiritual journey for 30 years. Well, that's good. It got you here. Now understand that you are not body. There was no spiritual journey. And all that knowledge that you've acquired is actually going to hold you back, because there's going to be the concept that I have knowledge. Well, there's no knowledge is knowledge. And understanding that there's no knowledge needed, because you are not body. Prior to beingness, did you know anything? Not even your own self. This sense of existence came along in the body-based illusion. And there's no need for you to know yourself or to know anything. You are.
You certainly don't have to be some kind of special intelligent person to perceive, I guess, this reality, because I know I'm not some special intelligent person. I'm kind of a foggy-brained fool, you know.
Mind, ego, intellect came along with the body. There's no intelligence. There's nothing. All of this body-based illusion is not true, because what does it rely on? You being a body. Then you're not. So, and yet now, because you have a body available and you're in this body-based illusion, you can enjoy some tea. You can have a relation. You can drive your car. You can do these things, because there is no deed and no doer.
But I find it so easy to forget and get lost in drinking the tea, you know, or to taste. I'm always fascinated with taste. You know, I get drawn into it and forget the nature of what I'm doing.
You know? Then again, in the dualistic sense, you offer this tea to the master. The formless sense of presence, it's myself and the formless sense of presence. Master, you are drinking this tea using this body. Thank you, Jai Sadguru. And remain with mantra.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
You froze. Well, there you go.
I have difficulty with the bhajans, and it seems so body like to me. I have a hard time doing bhajans. Can you respond to that?
Sure. For my own self, I don't actually do bhajans. I listen to the bhajans because it's...
Did you hear me?
Yes. You asked about the bhajans, and you think that that's kind of a body-based thing. Mm-hmm. Bhajans, it's just to present a spiritual atmosphere, and it's the vibrations of the bhajans. Not so much singing them. I'll give you an example. When I was in the ashram, I was reading and this and that, and it was like there were some people there who wanted to pronounce everything very phonetically correct. And for my own self, it was just the vibration. So I just started dancing and feeling it and moving. And now in my in the morning, I'll listen to bhajans and do some readings. In lunchtime, I listen to bhajans and do some eating. But it's just to give you that spiritual atmosphere, that the vibrations, they're very pleasing to the self. But don't get hung up on any of those, because you're absolutely right. Bhajans is a body-based concept. Prior to beingness, there were no bhajans. But bhajans can give you that spiritual atmosphere and keep you connected to your selfless self.
I guess I think of it, when I think of it, in a way, it's a little, like when you sing a song, you're sort of giving yourself away to the song, and there's a little bit of a joy involved. So I don't know. And like the master says, to think good thoughts, you can choose the thoughts you think to some degree. So why, like, think think good thoughts. I don't know if you could include the Bhajans in the realm of thoughts, but they're expressing ideas when they're, even if I'm not understanding them, it's a communication of something. But I guess I'm probably getting too conceptual about that.
I mean, the Bhajans are just to keep that spiritual atmosphere, you know, just to, because the Bhajans, especially in person in the ashram, they will shake apart the body. You know, you will feel that feeling of expansion because the Bhajans will shake apart this limited identification that you're holding. But again, if you get caught up in reciting the words phonetically and making sure that all of this is, then you are going to have the egoistic sense of, I am trying to do these Bhajans, rather than just allow the Bhajans to create this spiritual atmosphere and just wrap you. And even the symbols, it was a lot of fun at the ashram. They had the symbols and you just allowed this to just take you away. You know, you just dissolved into the Bhajans. And you can do the same and, you know, with just headphones, sitting, listening to Bhajans. On the website, ramakantmaharaj.us, they have Bhajans there. And on our website from where these talks are, they have the Bhajans. And you can just plug in anytime and listen to some Bhajan. Because as Maharaj says, be with you always. I think we're going to end here shortly.
Yeah, I think we're going to dissolve.
Yes, we're going to all dissolve indeed. Right. Jai Sadhguru.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you.